come out in into a dam on a property. And a few years later, after a drought, he's driving along and he looked over at this dam and here's all these phones sticking out of the mud. And he said, I had to go and recover them and hide them somewhere else.
Why were they obsolete? Why couldn't, say, if there were phones from the 1920s, why would they no longer work? Why couldn't the people just have kept those phones and kept using them?
Oh, well, they, like, wear and tear is the main thing, and the maintenance cost to PMG would have... They're better off replacing it with a new, more reliable phone than keep trying to maintain well, when a new, it's like a new product, a new phone is released, that's their policy to replace all the obsolete phones.
Did you ever come across some really beautiful old phones that you appreciated for their kind of...
Oh, yeah. I've,
you're now a collector.
I've got a couple at home, yeah.
But back then, as part of your job, did you ever think, oh, rather than get rid of this obsolete phone, I'd like to keep it?
Well, that's when I got my first candlestick. You know, the pedestal... it's a metal, they called it the candlestick. It was who's that actor? The Hardy Boys. It's more like it's got a separate receiver on the cord, you speak into the microphone and
yep.
Receiver like that.
Yep.
I got that outside of Leeton in 60, I thought it was 66, but it might be 68. And it was a tug of war type thing. Here was I giving a brand new ivory plastic telephone, but I'd have to take this and the hand generator and the bell box and the candlestick phone. And she's in Italian, I think it was. She couldn't speak English. I'm arguing, no, you don't take. And I'm saying, yes, I've got to, you know, I've got to send it to Sydney to be refurbished. And a young daughter came home, must have been 9 or 10. She translated and she said, my mother would like to know if she can keep the phone because they've had it since 1928. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but it's got to go back to Sydney, to Sydenham Workshop, and be refurbished. So they settled. That was it. That's when I first started keeping the old phones, if you like. Because, see, you didn't usually have any arguments. I went with a... In my fourth or before I was a technician, we got another trainee come in and we went out to Yanco Agricultural College. They said, can you fix up, they had a intercom, they used them for intercom, two big old ornate ball phones. And he said, can you fix these up? And I said, I'll do better than that. I'll give you brand new black wall phones. the latest telephone. And he said, oh, great. So Alban and I got a wall phone each.
Mm-hmm.
And Alban was killed in a road accident in 1970, and I used to go through Orange to see his mother. And years later, when I come back from New Zealand, I took my wife up through Orange and we went to see her, and here was this old wall phone still sitting on the wall, and she said it was pride and joy.
Mm. Neil, I might ask you now, if you don't mind, can you just take me through what happened from this point in time that we're talking about, when you're at Leeton, and through to 1973, when you actually started work here. We won't talk about your work here today at this session, but those few years leading up to that, what happened from Leeton?
Well, in Leeton in 1971, a mate of mine, one of my mates in Leeton, we decided we were going to go to Canada, because a technician that used to work at Leeton had gone to Canada and made a fortune, you know, working as a telephone technician. So we decided, Roger was a fitter and turner, but we decided, probably at the pub, would have been at the pub, that we'd go to Canada. So we resigned our jobs in 71. But in before that, Max, this guy that went to Canada, said, it's really hard to get into Canada from Australia, but if you go to New Zealand, it's easier. So we got a boat to New Zealand, and soon discovered that it was twice as hard to get from New Zealand to Canada than Australia to Canada. So we were sort of stuck in New Zealand. We didn't mind. I got a job at the Auckland Electric Power Board as a trouble man, doing basic faults, identifying faults and telling the customer to go and get an electrician, because I didn't have a electrician's license. But I'd virtually been, our training with Telecom, with PMG, I was an electrician. I could do electrical work, you know, in theory, but because I didn't have a slip of paper, I couldn't do it in practice. And I met Jill, my future wife, at that stage. And in 1972, my brother rang me from Sydney. He'd been moved to Sydney to do a cutover of Haymarket Exchange. And he got on the phone and rang me. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, at the moment I'm working for Post and Telegraphs, which was PMG, the equivalent of PMG in Australia. And he said, how much are you getting? I said, $91 a fortnight. And he started laughing. He said, he's on technician's pay over here on $168 a fortnight. The next day I wrote a letter to PMG and I asked them if there was any jobs available. And they said, yes, present yourself here in Sydney and we'll work it out. I went and spoke to Jill and I said, I'm going back to Australia. Do you want to come with me? She said, oh, we better see my father. So we went and saw Barney, and Barney said, I don't want you to take my daughter over to Australia, then dump her. And I said, Barney, I'll be back to, we'll come back here to New Zealand to get married. So he gave her the okay, and we come over and went for the interview. And the guy said, what do you want to do? And I said, oh, subs install, because I don't like exchanges. I can't work in an exchange, it's too confining. And he said, yeah, that's all right. He said, where do you want to go? And he said, the North Coast is out, because everybody used to go to the North Coast. And he put a list in front of me of about 40 places, and I got to Broken Hill. And I thought, I don't believe it, Broken Hill. And I looked at Jill and I thought, oh, I don't think Jill would appreciate Broken Hill. And then Canberra. And I said, oh, Canberra, that's a good spot. And he said, okay. He said, when do you want to start? And I said, I thought to myself, what's the catch here, you know? they're giving me everything. And I said, well, I want to see me sisters in Parkes and Bathurst and my brother in Mildura. So a couple of weeks. He said 3 weeks. He said you can start in 3 weeks. And I said, now all I have to do is hope I get the loan for a car I'm buying. And he said, oh, well, give us the details. And he wrote a letter. This introduces Neil Kenneth Baker to you. He will be working as a telephone technician in Canberra with a salary of such and such a year. And it's just what I needed to get the loan, you know, exactly what I needed. So they really took good care of me. And we bought a Valiant Pacer, 4-door. Went to Parkes, Orange. Oh, and after we left Orange, we come through Canberra, and I went to introduce myself to my new boss, just a matter of courtesy, that I'd be back in a week to start work at Dixon here. And he said, all right. And we're driving around. It was a long October long weekend, because we'd, after October long weekend, when we were at Bathurst, we went to the Hardy Ferrado, the race, mountain. It was Hardy Ferrado in those days, 500 miles, yeah. And we're sitting at the lights at London Circuit, and it's 104 degrees, come on the radio, it's 104 degrees. And Jill said, oh, how am I ever going to live in this sort of heat? Because she'd never seen heat like that in New Zealand.
Where was she from in New Zealand?
Northern New Zealand, opposite, on the west coast, opposite Bay of Islands.
North Island.
Okay. It's actually 4 degrees off the longitude of Canberra.
Okay, and pretty cold.
I said you can look out there and see, wave to your relatives. And I said, oh, don't worry about the heat. And I thought, geez, I wonder if I should tell her about winter. Because heat was coming. So we went over to Mildura, stayed there a couple of days, come back to Canberra, started in Canberra. Just maintenance and installation. No, it wasn't maintenance, it was just installation of new services in Canberra. And we went in 1973, December, we went to New Zealand and got married. Come back. That was the end of 1973. Early in 73, I was approached, well, four of us were approached. Eddie James was a senior technician, and three other technicians were approached to put a new telephone system in the PM's wing that was being built.
Prime Minister's wing.
Prime Minister's wing that was being built there. And I said, oh, yeah, that'd be all right. Because they said they're a new type of telephone, non-switching units, new. And I said, how long will it take? And they said, oh, 3 or 4 months. And I said, yeah, I'll be in that. And I left in 1988 when they closed the doors.
Yeah. And let's talk about that period next time we get together. Yeah. Can I just go back and ask a couple of quick questions to finish off? What did Barney do for a living? Your father?
He was a cheesemaker, but he owned... he bought a farm, a dairy farm. So he became a dairy farmer. And Doris, his wife, she died. She'd never been to the doctor. I think Barney said she'd been to the doctor 28 years before. She was 56 when she died. She had a massive brain hemorrhage. Yeah, she was 56 years old.
Had she worked outside the home?
She done the milking when Barney was down the pump.
Yeah, okay.
and didn't get home to do the milking. Mm-hmm. I used to milk twice a day.
Yeah.
I made it clear that the first time I went up there, he said, oh, you bloody Aussie. He always used to call me Australian bastard. And he said, you... We'll get up at 5 or 4 in the morning to milk the cows. And I said, Barney, I'm a telephone technician. I'm not a milkman, milker. And I never... The only time I went to the milking shed was to watch.
Yeah, fair enough. And look, the final question for today. You mentioned that you didn't like exchange work, but you liked sub-installs, was it?
Did you say? Oh, subscriber to install, new.
What is that? What does that mean? That's a technical term.
Installing telephones, new services at houses and businesses. Putting switchboards in businesses, installation.
Yep, I'm with you.
Subscribers installation.
Yep. And am I right to think that would have been booming at that time? Like there would have been lots of people, new houses being built and big demand for that service?
Yeah. I didn't get much of the... private subscribers installation, because by those days, like it used to be, the linesman would go out and put the line into the house, technician would come out and connect the telephone.
Okay.
by that time, when the boom was on, it was the linesman would do the complete service. Like, you know, before then there was an exchange technician connected the line to the cable pair out of the building, out of the exchange. The linesman provided the connection underground or overhead to the outside of the house, and the install technician installed from where the line is left off in the thing.
Into the house.
It then became the linesman could go into the exchange, run the jumper, connect the pair to the cable, outgoing cable pair, go out in the street, connect, do all the connections to the house and to the telephone, finish it off.
So they then
do the whole lot, yeah. So we were in, I was in sort of all the businesses, all the departments and government departments and things like that.
And did you have a secure employment? Like with the PMG, were you a permanent kind of employee at this stage?
Yeah, very secure. Yeah. It was a good, but I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. You know, doing the, sorry, I'm just, my alarm's going off.
Okay. Yeah, no, well, look, thanks so much for today, and I'll look forward to getting together again, and we'll talk about the time here in this building. And I hope you enjoyed it or wasn't too onerous for you today.
It's good.
Okay, we'll send you a CD of today's session, and thanks.